Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. What a beautiful just a worship set, and just, man, God is so good. I love the just reminders. You know, may we never forget what it felt like to be lost. I love the way that song starts out, right? I remember who I was. And you know, this morning we're going to take communion together. We're going to be reminded of who we were, but we're reminded of what Jesus has done in our place. And man, how glorious and great his grace is to us. The scripture says without the shedding of blood, that there is no remission of sins. And so we are so thankful for the blood of Christ and for his grace and mercy. If you are a guest with us this morning, my name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. And I'm so glad that you are here. We're jumping into a new series. It is a great day to be in church, to be together, and to just worship our great God. The series that we are going to be in for the next however long is a series called Traveling Light. And, you know, when we think about traveling light, the reality is that that probably doesn't describe a lot of us all that well. When I look around the world that we live in, you know, the descriptions that we might would give of people or maybe even of ourselves could look more weary, could look maybe even weighed down in the midst. We live in a world where busyness is a trophy. If we talk to somebody and we say, how you doing? And man, busy, crazy, running crazy. And somehow in our culture, we felt like that is a victory somehow. And you know, I don't know, Tom was talking at the beginning, like how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? And there was like, maybe like one person, you know, raised their hand. And, you know, I think about this time of year, and if you're like me, you know, maybe you've made resolutions, but sometimes all you really do is just feel weary at the end of the year because you look back and you're like, man, I just blew it again. You know, like I decided I was going to do this and I was going to do that. And you just kind of end in this place where you feel maybe more weary than you started. I don't know, that's a place I felt. But yeah, there is a little sense like of reset of, you know, as a new year starts, there's things that we look at a little different. I found myself this past week just kind of leaning into some of those thoughts. I love to read let's kind of settle one thing maybe for our staff. We've been discussing this for a little while, Chris is laughing. So I read some real books this week, and then I read some books that were digital but real by having words. And then I listened to some books. And anybody like Audible readers in here? Some people? Okay, y'all have to help me out. Like here, not like the question is like if you listen to a book, does it count as reading? If it's yes, if that counts as reading, raise your hand. Hallelujah. A few of you. Yeah. If it doesn't count, just raise your hand. Some of you are like, I have no idea, right? It's like, I listened to a few books and read a few books this week. One, Rest in War, was the name of it. Interesting book. Just really talking about the rhythms of life and this thought of rest and war. A guy named Ben Stewart wrote that. Some really interesting concepts there. Read a book and kind of revisited a book called Start to Finish. It was written by Pastor Mark Dance, who experienced just a real season of burnout. And he writes this book that, And it doesn't take long to like look in the news and see moral failure even among Christian leaders and people that are there. And he wrote this book that just says, what does it look like to live in such a way that from start to finish you honor Jesus and live for the glory of his name? And whether you're a pastor, whether you're a mom or a dad or just a follower of Jesus Christ, right? That's our heart, right? We want to live in that kind of way. Looked at some of these different books on rhythms of grace. Kyle Idleman has some neat teaching on that. There's a guy that Richard Foster has written a book on spiritual disciplines. Several people that are out there, and you can find all these things, but there's this reality that we're always searching, because the thing that we see is we're weighed down. We're battling a lot of things. And when we think about that, we're going to think about this concept of traveling light. Like, what does it look like to live the way Jesus describes? What does it look like to live yoked with him and to find rest in the midst of the weariness? The title of this message is Reset for the weary. And I hope this morning we can look at our lives and we can examine what Christ is inviting us into. A big idea this morning really is this, right? That Jesus invites the weary and the burdened to find rest in him. And there's three ways, right? By coming, by learning, and by trusting. We'll see those things as we look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. We'll begin in verse 28. If you want to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Matthew chapter number 11. And when we think about these kind of things, we recognize that the weariness in our life, there's busyness, there's a lot of noise in our lives. We were traveling by a Buc-ee's. Any Buc-ee's fans in the room? Like anybody, how many people have been to Buc-ee's? Like, I mean, I see some people with smiles and excitement and some people with like, you know, boo kind of looks. I took a picture in there, you'll see. And I decided to overlay these and make them crazy for effect, but you'll see this picture in the background is one I did not take. I thought I was taking a picture, but I was so distracted in the moment that I was actually going to record a video, and I guess I just never made it to the little record button. And so I didn't have that one. This one on the right, this is the women's restroom line. Like, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I understand that, like, not from being in there, like in the early service, I was like, I took a picture of the women's restroom. And then I was like, no, that's not sounding good. I took a picture of the line in there. And I heard eyewitness testimony from my wife that there was a lady in there directing traffic. She's like, stall number 13, open, two over here, three over here, one down here. Like, this is kind of the way that we live, right? And I can, you know, get in that environment and be just fine. Some people are like, man, I would rather do anything than be in that kind of hornet's nest. But there's a lot of noise, right? There's like, sometimes our minds may look like that. There's a lot of those things there. But Jesus is going to invite us into a different way of life. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read verses 28 to 30. If you'll stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And here's how we do this. So if you're a guest, at the end of this reading, Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 8 is going to be on the screen. And we would invite you just to quote that with me as we are reminded each week of the Word of God and just this reality that it stands forever. So I invite you into those moments. Verse 28, we read these words, come to me. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And altogether, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for the gift of your word. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you for, God, this morning as we just see your word and the invitation, my King Jesus, to come, all, God, every one of us who are weary and heavy laden. Lord, we recognize there's so many different circumstances in this room, so many different things that are just going on in the midst of our lives, times of loss, times of busyness, times of hurting. And Lord, we see this invitation to come, and that in you, that we could find rest. God, I pray, Lord, you let us experience your grace this morning. God, remind us of who we were. God, remind us of what you've done through the finished work of the cross. And Lord, help us to live in the abundant life found possible only in Jesus Christ. Lord, and if there's someone here, God, that's never trusted in you, God, never repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in you, God, someone who's, God, living apart from your grace this morning, God, just weary, God, we pray that, God, your gospel, Lord, would be declared, Lord, that we would recognize what you've done in our place and that we might rest our whole weight in the finished work of the cross. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We pray you would work in our lives in a way only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, as we just kind of jump in this morning, point number one, we're going to see in this text, right, that God calls the heavy laden to recognize. To really just this thought, if you're following along in the app, you'll see a blank here, right? And we want to see this thought, right, that we recognize. And this thought of seeing our condition. We hear these words about all who are weary and all who are heavy laden. Jesus says, come to me, all who were weary. When we see those kind of things, right, the people of this time, they were burdened, maybe in some different ways than we are. They were burdened by the heavy yoke of these religious leaders. They were burdened with these people that would point out all these legalistic ways that they would have to live, these rules, really just endless rules and regulations. You know, when I first came to faith in Christ, I looked at, you know, I kind of thought God maybe was in heaven with a six shooter or something. And when we messed up, you know, I was just waiting on him to be like, I've had enough of that guy, you know. And then I would think about like how we live, and I would hear the word of God, and I would see these things, and I would feel like maybe God was withholding things from me. Like, how in the world, you know, when we were singing Thank You Jesus for the Blood, it said I remember who I was. And I couldn't help but think back to those days before Christ, and just thinking like, how in the world could these people enjoy and find freedom? Like, I'd see people following Jesus, and I'd be like, I don't know how they have any fun, because they can't do this and this and this. Because to me, God's word was filled with these cruel commandments. You don't do this. That's what Adam and Eve had, right? They were in there, and they're like, God's withholding something. The enemy was saying, listen, you know, God had said, hey, you can eat, you can have all these things, all these blessings, but this one thing, and somehow the enemy had made them think that God was withholding this one thing. I had that kind of perspective. And I thought God's word was filled with all these cruel commandments, all these things that thou shalt not do this and thou shalt. But what I've come to understand, right, is that God's word is filled with sweet solutions for life, right? And the beauty of his word and his grace and his mercy to us, right? This sense of legalism, this weight that was put on people was just so much. And I came to faith in Christ. God saved me. And I began to try to walk in this Christian life. And listen, I'd been going down the wrong road a long time. And I understood things. I thought, hey, this is what I need to do. I need to do all these things because that's what Christians do. And I know some things I'm not supposed to do. And those are the things I'm not going to do. And so I'd say, you know what? I'm going to buckle up this morning, right? I'm going to get up and I'm putting on my bootstraps and I'm not going to do this and I'm going to do this. And what I found myself doing was living in this cycle of saying, hey, I'm going to try and try and try. But Paul wrote some things in Romans chapter 7. And I found myself feeling some of the same things he expressed there, where he said, you know, the things that I want to do, those are the things that I'm not doing. And he said, the very things that I don't want to do, those are the things I'm doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who could deliver me from this body of sin, right? Those are the places that I'm at. And I'm thinking, how do we do this? And my life just felt weighed down in those moments, right? And I would get up, I'd say, I'm going to try harder. I'd post little notes on my desk. I'd say, listen, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so I'm going to do good today. And I'd do good for a little while, and I'd have like a good day, and I'd be like, ha-ha, God's pleased with me today. I had a good day. And then the next day, I'd have this moment where, I'd fail, and I'd, you know, somebody would aggravate me or whatever. It'd be easy if it wasn't for people, you know, like it was their fault. And so there's those kind of moments. And then there was just this kind of this whirlwind of like, I'm pleasing God today. I'm not pleasing God. I've done this, I've done that. And what I began to realize, right, was that I was on this just treadmill trying to perform, trying to earn grace, trying to do all these kind of things. And John 15, just really in a moment, as I was reading that, the Lord used it just to transform my perspective and the way I live. And it's been such a game-changing element for me in the life of Christ, because I'd always read the Bible and thought, you know, my job is to bear fruit. I'm a believer. I'm going to do all these things. And so I was trying. But what Jesus, in those verses, said, listen, he said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. He said, abide in me and I in you. And I began to understand that as we abide in Christ, he said, is abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. And what I want you to hear this morning, our job is not simply just trying. Listen, we're going to talk about some effort later. We're going to talk about our response and our walk with Christ. But what we understand is it's not about trying. It's about trusting and saying, I'm going to step into this walk with Jesus. He says, take my yoke up on you. And he said, as you walk with me, as you live with me, I'm going to transform your life. And he said, this is a God that holds the universe together. And we can trust him in that, right? We don't understand it. We don't understand how just abiding in him and doing these things, like we're going to experience grace. But listen, God, he has designed us in that way. And so we're going to invite you in to those things, right? The busyness that we feel is all around. Consider this. I read online that the average American checks their phone 96 times per day, right? And some of us are more than that. I got a gift. My wife got me a Christmas gift, and I was thinking about it in light of this message this week, and I'm like, is this good news or bad news? Because I saw it this morning as I was getting ready. She bought me a cell phone holder for the shower. I know. Like somebody told me, they asked me about something. I was like, well, I think they text. They're like, I don't keep my phone in the shower, bro. He's like, I missed it, you know? And so, I mean, I'm thinking, what kind of sign is this that I've got that? And I'm listening, like I'm worshiping in there. I'm listening. Because listen, I don't want to waste any time, right? I want to be soaking it in. I'm going to listen to something. I'm going to do something. And we kind of run on this wheel. You know, the average American, 2.5 hours a day on social media. I don't know how long you scroll. But you can think about that, the average American, 2.5 hours a day. If you multiply that out, what it says is that 8 years of your life, if that's true, 8 years of your life, you're scrolling, right? Probably in the midst of people that are around you. Like we can't, I heard this one statistic where this thing says, hey, we have anxiety about going to the bathroom without our phones. That people will literally, this is crazy, right? People will literally wait and charge their phone and be like, I'll hold it till there's at least 10 minutes of charge in there, right? There's no way I'm going without that thing in there. So we recognize like this reality. And so this is the thing, we recognize our condition. And so we're called, like we are weighed down. Some of it may be loss in your family. Somebody may be medical diagnoses. There's all kinds of things. Maybe the pressures of work, job changes. It may be school. Maybe all these pressures, right, to perform, all these things. But you recognize, listen, we're weary and we are heavy laden. And so Jesus says, hey, recognize this condition. Admit where you're weary and that you're just in need of rest. And I hope some people maybe just can embrace that this morning. And so not only does he call us to recognize, but he calls us to respond. And Jesus says this, right? To all the heavy laden, he calls us to respond. He says, come, all who are weary and heavy laden, come. It's this reality, right? And we recognize our condition. And so it would rhyme. I said we respond, right, to his provision. We come to his provision. But what we see in this text, really, he is the provision. He says, come to me. He says, I am your Sabbath rest. He said, it's in me that you'll find rest. It's in me that you'll find the grace and mercy that you need, right? The invitation is simple. It's not, he didn't say do all these things, right? That's what I somehow had heard, that somehow had in my mind. But what he says, listen, come to me, not through striving, but through surrender. Just recognize, like, I can't, I'm weary, I'm heavy laden, I can't handle all this. I'm not designed to handle all this. We're not designed to handle all the news and all the stuff and all this constant information. Listen, we can't handle it all. And he invites us into this rest, not something we get from him, but him, right? He invites us to experience rest in him, to come to him. Because here's the reality, like we're burdened, we're overloaded, we're weighed down. We were flying this past year, we flew out of Asheville and Allegiant Airlines, and like, you know, when we go on mission trips, like I just try to find Esther routes. Like I just always want to be with her. Like she knows exactly what to do. Like you can just kind of go in there, you know, and she's like, go over here, go here, go here. It's just like, you don't even have to think, right? Like a professional in there. Well, we're in this line and my family's all in there and we've got our bags. I don't know about you, but when we're going somewhere, for some reason, like we have maybe this fear of not having everything that we need. And so we're packing, like we're not traveling light, okay? We're traveling maxed, okay? And so we got these suitcases and we're learning like roll up your drawers and stick them in here, roll up your t-shirts. You're like all the ways to pack the most amount of things in there. And then we got these checklists and we're looking up checklists, like all the things that you need. And so we get to the airline, we're in line. Talk about stress, like somehow like airport lines stress me out, right? They're just like, there's a little pressure. You got to take your shoes off fast. You got to go through here. Somehow something beeps. You forget something. All those things right here. And then they pull you off to the side and like frisk you or something. Because I don't know. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's just crazy. And so we're in this airport line. We get there. We've weighed our bags. We got this little portable thing. We think we're in good shape. We get there. They've got the pro scale. We throw our bag on top of that thing, right? And I look at the bag and the bag is overloaded. I'm like, oh no, like we're like 5 pounds over, right? And so we're talking and there's like people in line and there's always professionals like around you, like Esther, right? They have everything together and somehow they're traveling light. Like they got two little bags. Everything looks good. They're so relaxed. We're maxed out. I throw my bag in the floor. I'm like sorting things. I'm trying to think like, okay, what do we get rid of? You know, you're having that little thing like, if you only have a few minutes, what is it that you're going to leave behind, right? You're having to make all those things. And then I'm like, I weigh the other bag and the other bag's lighter. The other bag's, I'm like, okay, that's great. But it looks fuller, right? Because we've been packing that stuff in there, like your foot on it, stuffing things in there. And so I'm pulling this stuff out like the whole, everybody in there is watching us goobers, right? And we're in there like I'm sticking stuff in the bag and I'm dragging this thing forward to keep the line moving. And we get up to the line. There's a lady up the line and she's watched some of this going on. She's like, "What are you okay? What's going on, sir?" And I'm like, "Well, okay, here's the thing." I'm like out of breath. I'm like, "Okay, this bag is like overweight. This bag, I'm trying to get the stuff in there." And she just has this little calm thing about it. She says, "Here, give me those, sir. Give me those." And I didn't know this. And I don't know if this is true for like every, you know, airport thing and all that. But she says, we average like one bag can be a little over and this one can be a little under and it's okay. Give me those bags." And like in that moment, like I was so glad. I'd never been so happy to get rid of some bags, right? And she takes those bags and, you know, puts them in there and we fly and we have a great time, all those things, right? And Jesus, listen, he's not inviting us to rearrange all these bags. And you know, for those people that are around us, the professionals that are around us, they probably got like 27 pairs of underwear on trying to get in there without big bags, right? That's what I'm like, you know, but somehow we're looking at them. We're like, man, it must be easy. How are they getting through all these lines? What are, you know, how are they traveling light? We kind of look around. And I want to encourage you. Jesus is not asking you to just kind of rearrange. He's saying, listen, trust me with everything. And then he's going to say, hey, yoke up with me. And this thought of yoking up, he's like, walk with me. We're going to talk about it. He says, and as you walk, as you live, as you travel, as you see how I model the way to live, do those things. Trust me in those things. Trust me with everything. He says, listen, my yoke is easy. We respond, right? We recognize where we're at. We respond. And then we find rest, right? God calls the heavy laden just to rest. That's where we're going to finish out today. We trust his direction. He says, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. And he says, learn from me. He says, this is who I am. And I was glad that lady at the front of the airport line was gentle and easy. And man, it was just such a grace. Like when people are jerks, it's hard. Like, you know, I mean, you have those kind of things. But Jesus says, come to me. He says, I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. He said, you're going to find rest for your souls. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. This word yoke, right? We don't think about that a lot. Some of you teenagers may have heard somebody say, hey, you need to date other believers. Don't be unequally yoked among yourselves with other believers. 1 Corinthians 6, you'll see a picture of a yoke. And so this yoke, this wooden piece that kind of connects these two animals. So it goes over them and it joins these animals together and it allows them, right, as they share the load, it would pair these two animals. It would allow them to work together and to pull a load. It would give them this kind of distribution of weight. And it would also in this time have some spiritual significance, right? The rabbis would have a system of teachings and some of these rabbis, some of the teachings that were there, the things that they were facing, it was this system of beliefs, this weight, all of these things that you had to do and their yokes, right? It would be filled with not just like the commands from scripture, but these extra commands, these extra things and these impossible demands and these impossible requirements and all these things, right? And Jesus says, I'm offering you a different yoke. I'm offering you this yoke that's kind and easy, this yoke that fits, this yoke that I'm walking with you in. And he's not adding another weight to our lives. Listen, Jesus has done all the heavy lifting. Yesterday we got behind the shed and we were busting wood with some of the guys and I brought my monster maul. It's like the heaviest thing in the whole world. It's like all steel. You can't break it. You can't dent it. There's just no way hurting it. And so I've got the monster maul out there and I swing it for about 5 minutes and some of the young guys that are out there immediately will take it from me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right. And so they're swinging this thing, right? And it's heavy. It is heavy. And like one of them came in, and as they were coming in today, they're like, I'm sore, right? And from all, and I'm thinking, I'm not sore a bit, right? I'm not sore at all, right? I swung that thing like 10 times. It was done for me. It was easy for me. right? Because they did the heavy lifting. And Jesus, listen, he's done the heavy lifting. It's not us trying, right? We trust in his direction and what he's doing. And we work right out of an overflow of the rhythms of life that he's created, right? The Jews, the Hebrews, they would live different, right? In a lot of ways, there was this Sabbath rest that they would look toward. And even the schedules, like you would look, even in the creation story, saying it was evening and it was morning. The first day, evening and morning, the second day. And so like sunset, right? And depending on where the time changed, right? I didn't have to deal with that. But with us, like, you know, hey, 6 p.m., right? The day's starting. What would it do with our lives if we said, hey, my day's starting at 6 p.m., right? I'm here, my best right here for these relationships that are there. I'm living in that kind of dynamic. And then, listen, we're going to lay down, we're going to rest. We're required. We have to have this rest, right? This and this thought, right, of Sabbath. We'll talk a little bit about that. We don't have time to lean in so much today. But there's this reality. Jesus in Mark 2, we're reading through the Gospel of Mark right now as a church. As we read through that, right, Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Not this weight of this thing. But listen, we need rest. And they understood, right, this relationships and then rest. And then the next morning you rise up and you work out of an overflow of rest, right? What a concept, right? And we never pause, right? We never rest, right? But being yoked with Jesus, I hope you'll hear this. I hope this will be something that'll stick with you. Listen, it's not about us living for him in our strength. It's about him living through us by his grace. This is what he's inviting us to. He's done the heavy lifting and he does it now, right? That's the John 15 analogy, right? It's the life of the vine being pressed through the branches as we abide in him and we bear fruit because Jesus is doing the work, right? He's living his life in and through us. So we trust his direction. We look at what he did and we do what he did. I don't know if that sounded right, but we do what he did and we do what he says and we live different. Dallas Willard says this, he said, grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. Earning is an attitude, effort is an action. And so we have some work to do, right? We have some things that we need to order in our lives. We've got to think about what's important. Jesus would tell his disciples, we'd see it many times in the Gospels, and he would say, if anyone would come after me, very familiar to us, right? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. We're familiar with that word, but there's not a lot of denying of ourself that we do. What that means is we say no to ourself. You've seen maybe some of the blogs on fasting, some of the different things. I want to encourage you maybe to think even this time of year, man, is God calling me just to kind of press pause for a little bit? Is he causing me to find rest in him? Is he causing me to fast, right? And we would see this even in Mark's gospel, it's him talking about that as well. Like, listen, we don't fast because we want to be hungry. We fast because we are hungry. We desire his presence. We desire more of his presence. And we say no to ourselves and yes to him. Yes to time with him. Yes to him. He invites us into those moments, right? He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And as we yoke with him, as we follow him, we're going to learn some things. The first thing we're going to learn about relationships. When you think about these things, like as you yoke up with Jesus, you're going to learn about relationships. As you're reading Mark's gospel, I hope you'll do that. Like cowie.church/disciple, you'll see the reading plan. I hope you'll jump in there, right? But as you do that, we see these rhythms. We're going to see Jesus, his whole life, right? In the life of a follower of Christ, it's about relationships. And all of them are going to fit in a box, right? You're going to see Jesus interacting. He's going to be interacting. He's going to spend time with his Father. He's going to spend time with his disciples. And he's going to engage with the world. Those are the three things, those three relationships. They define every part of the life of a Jesus follower. Listen, we're going to learn about those things. In Mark 1:35, Jesus, listen, while it was still dark, this is what the Bible says, Jesus, while it was still dark, that he would get up before everybody else. That's what he did. He got up before all the distractions, all the busyness, and he would go to a secluded place. That's what Mark 1:35 says. He would go to a secluded place, and he would spend time there in prayer. I said, what would change in your life? Like if you just adopt this one rhythm, you say, I'm going to get up and I'm not going to start my day scrolling through social media. I'm not going to start my day just by running. And some of you are saying, listen, I don't have time for all that. You don't know how busy I am. Listen, the busier you are, you don't have time not to start that way. And there's this reality, right, that we're called to walk by faith and trust. Listen, when we lean in to these rhythms of life that Jesus given, we walk with him, we live out of an overflow. That's what the next verse is, right? Mark 3. We read Mark 3, one of my favorite verses in the scripture. You'll see in this passage, I believe it's Mark 3, verse 14, we see that he appointed the 12. We see Jesus doing that. And the scripture says this. He said, so that they could be with him. First, it says, so they could be with him. And that he could send them out to preach. And we think activity is the whole thing. But Jesus called these disciples so they could be with him. And everything that Jesus wants to do through us, everything that he wants to do through you, it's going to be a result of what he's doing in you. And this is what he's called us to, right? Relationship with him. He works in this way. We learn about relationships. Number two, we learn about rest, right? We express dependence, right? We understand that we can't go all the time, that we can't live without sleep, that we set aside these things, and we understand those things. We don't have time to lean in there. But we learn about this rest, right? Mark 2, 27, 28, he says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He is our Sabbath rest ultimately, right? But we still need that rest. When we think about the rhythms of our life, we understand this need. We learn, number three, about the rhythms, right? Solitude, prayer, fasting, all these places, right? They're places that we intentionally follow the life and the commands of Christ that we might experience his grace. And when it comes to like things that we do, when it comes to things you add on, we say yes to something, right? And we have this other thing that comes on our schedule. And we think, you know what? I'll just take one more thing, right? We hear this word, right? The straw that broke the what? Right? And it's just one thing, right? But what we understand, right, is it compounds. And as we take these things, right, all of a sudden, man, the weight is so much. It's more than we can handle. But what we also understand, right, as we walk in these rhythms of grace, they compound in a different direction, right? And we experience freedom. We experience life. We experience rest. Henry Blackaby says this. He said, we're so activity-oriented that we assume we were saved for a task to perform rather than a relationship to enjoy. Listen, enjoy just time with Jesus. Some people are like, well, why did Jesus get up early and go and do all those things? I mean, could it be that he just enjoyed spending time with his Father? But what would it look like for us to say, man, I'm trying to fill in all these blanks. I got to do all these things. I got to earn favor. No. Like, God has given me his grace. And I love him. And I have a relationship with him. And I just want to spend time with him. Dallas Willard says, we must do nothing to earn salvation, but we must do much to experience it. What will we choose? What is going to be important in our lives? What are the priorities that we'll do this year? And we've got to manage the distractions, right? We've got to turn these things off. We've got to get a hold of all these things. We've got to recognize what's happening in our lives. It's different for all of us. We've got to manage that, though. And we've got to manage our priorities. We've got to say, listen, we're going to order our life around time with the Father. We're going to enjoy these rhythms. Because, listen, we won't find our success measured by the resolutions we make, but by the rhythms that we embrace. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, is a verse I love. And it says, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth, right? And it says, you've done it by your great power, by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. And I'm just inviting you to trust him. You say, I'm so busy, I don't know. Just trust him in these moments, right? He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful, he's merciful, he's loving, he's eternal, he's omnipresent, right? He's full of grace, he's sovereign, he's a creator and sustainer of all things. And when we recognize this is our God, listen, we can trust him, we can rest in him, we can rest in his grace. He's at work, and he works through these ordinary means that he's given us. We carry all this stuff. We have all this sin. We strive so hard. It's part of our nature. It's part of where we're at, right? We think somehow we can earn rest. We think somehow we can earn favor. We think of all those things. But, right, Jesus, he's done the heavy lifting. He bore our burden on the cross. He's carried our weight, and he invites us to come to him, surrendering everything, right, laying it at his feet so that we can travel light, right, so that we can yoke with him and we can experience freedom found only in Christ. We're going to come here in just a few moments and we're going to take communion together. Jesus, on the eve of his death, he gave this beautiful picture, this beautiful gift, right? That we would be able to look back and remember what he has done for us. That we would be able to look back and be reminded that it was his body that was broken for us, that was beaten for us. His blood that was shed for us in our place. I'm going to invite our deacons to come. And in these moments, I want to invite you just into a little bit of a time of reflection and just to kind of block distractions. If you'll just bow your heads for just a moment, close your eyes. Just want to, as they come and they prepare the table, I want to encourage you to prepare your hearts. And you say, you know, what is this? You know, this time, who is this for? And we come, all who have repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are invited to participate in this Lord's Supper together. We see this reminder that we would look back. Jesus would take, and on the eve of his death, he would gather with his disciples and he would give them this gift. He would take the bread and he would tear from it and he would say, would give it to him, and he'd say, hey, this is my body, which is given for you. He said, as often as you do this, as often as you come together as followers of Jesus Christ and take this Lord's Supper together, he says, as often as you do that, he said, you do this in remembrance of what he's done, right? Of what he's done on the cross. And we also look within, we recognize, and as we prepare for this moment, we look in our own lives and we want to come to the table worthy, right? Not worthy because of anything that we've done, but we want to come, the scripture says, not worthy because of what we've done, but in a worthy manner, right? This posture that we would have, this recognition that, listen, there's nothing we could have done to earn favor with God or be forgiven, like all Jesus has done all that work. But we want to come, right? We don't want to have sin on our calendar. We don't want to come and participate in this and look back and say, thank you, Jesus, for your body and your blood, but plan to just go and I'm going to go and I'm going to do this tonight. I'm going to party and I'm going to look at porn. I'm going to do whatever those things are. It's like, hey, I'm going to come to this table and then just kind of live however. Right? We come reflecting, right, on the great cost of our salvation, on the freedom that's been given to us in Christ. And so we come confessing sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we look within, and in these moments, I encourage you just to confess any sin, anything that you need to just make right with God. I encourage you in these moments just to do that. We look back at what he's done. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've never experienced that freedom. I've never repented of my sins and placed my faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe this morning you'd say, you know what, I recognize that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was for me, that it was in my place, it was the punishment that I deserved. And I want to turn from my sin. I'm believing. Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, right, that he's in charge and not us, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we could be saved. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And maybe you'd say, you know what, I believe that what Jesus did on that cross, it was in my place. And this morning, for the first time in my life, I'm just resting my full weight in him, believing, trusting. If that's you, call on his name even in these moments. Romans 10:13 says, whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Prepare your heart. Come to him. He says, all who are weary and heavy laden, he said, in me, he said, you'll find rest. If that's you, confess your sin to him, your need for a savior, your need for forgiveness. And for all of us, as we reflect, the deacons are going to begin to distribute the bread and the juice. And you can take those and just wait, and we'll take that together here at the end. Continue to reflect on his grace in your life, on his mercy.